Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is an
Get In
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
He knows nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Welcome to ENN, which is brought to you tonight by our friends at All American Ford. Such an incredible inventory at all four New Jersey locations or online at allamericanford.net. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Okay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes, 98.7
ESPN. I remember that.
Because it was 3 minutes ago. And good evening, Don.
Boy, Chuck, or Clutterbuck.
Michael, this could be a... Listen, you were worried about having drops for next year, and I could see this right here. This could
Kayla
be a top
Rosenberg and you on Yes 98.7 ESPN.
That's a top five next year.
Why?
Because it's hilarious.
Okay.
Michael, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
Don, I've lost him. That's it. It's a shame.
It's been a tough day for Michael.
Now, at 6:20, you will hear the results. 14 minutes left to vote. TMKS ESPN on Twitter. For some reason, now RJ's aggressiveness about playing that music, now it's funny like it's a drop also.
Right.
Anytime we even if we just hint at the words, drop madness. He has to play it, no matter what. He's out of control. All right, so... Let's see. So many things to discuss here. Where should I start? Where should I start? Where should I start? You want to talk some Tom Brady? Familiar with him? Former quarterback of the New England Patriots?
Sure.
Yeah, he's no longer there. We'll get to Tom Brady in just a minute.
He gone.
Let's start with a bigger NFL story today that emerged over the last couple hours, and that is Sean Payton being the first NFL person to test positive for coronavirus. Here's Adam Schefter talking about Payton's positive test.
Moments ago, I hung up with Sean Payton, the Saints head coach, who confirmed that he's become the first person in the NFL world to be diagnosed with the coronavirus. Now, he has been at home over the weekend, didn't feel well on Sunday, and then received the diagnosis a short time ago. He is at home, resting comfortably. He said he's part of the 20% who are diagnosed with the coronavirus that doesn't have a cough, that doesn't have fever. He's going to be quarantined in his home in New Orleans through this weekend. And he's already feeling better, like I said, without the fever. But when he wasn't feeling well on Sunday, he wound up taking the coronavirus test on Monday, and it came back positive today. And the reason that he came out with it is because he wants to send a message to all the people out there, especially the young people, that they need to be listening to the experts, that they need to be paying attention here, that they need to stay at home and practice social distancing and do the right thing.
I'm curious, Peter.
Go ahead.
No shortness of breath, no cough, no fever. Why did you get a test?
That's what I'm confused by. Thought the same thing.
There doesn't seem to be anything that would warrant a test. Like, if you woke up nauseous, would you go get a test? I mean, what if you don't have a fever, you don't have a cough, and you don't have shortness of breath, then what exactly were you feeling so badly about that you would go get a test?
Now, he was in, what did you say, Arkansas this weekend?
Yeah.
And I guess he lives in New Orleans. I mean, does New Orleans have a lot of tests? Did he just drive himself to a testing facility?
No, he's Sean Payton. If he wants to get a test every hour, he could get one.
Yeah, but point. I guess that's what bothers people is that there's a protocol, at least here in New York. You just can't walk in and say, I've got a cough, I want a test. There's certain checks that have to be explained in order
to
get
the test. I'm sure famous people can. I'm sure the Brooklyn Nets did.
And that's
and you understand. I don't get mad at Sean Payton. I don't get mad at the Brooklyn Nets. I get mad at the situation that these tests are like gold. They shouldn't be like gold. The part of fighting this is the ability to get tested.
I mean, there is a
tested. If you're tested, there's no like decision on whether or not to stay in or go out. You can stay in. No. You're going to quarantine yourself.
Now, I understand people upset, especially people that, you know, feel like they have it and they were turned away from getting a test because they didn't have certain things or didn't travel or whatever. All right. But to put that aside for a second, the one positive of Sean Payton or Tom Hanks or any of these players that we've made public that they tested positive is it kind of puts a face to it. Because I think part of the problem with people not taking it seriously is they literally don't know anybody who has it. So they figure, well, how bad can it be? I don't know one person who has this. Well, now you can follow Sean and see how, if you see him getting better. I'm sure he's going to tweet like Tom Hanks has to say how he's feeling, what are his symptoms. I mean, so it kind of gives the people that don't know anyone that has it a chance to kind of follow and see what's going on.
No, I agree. I think, you know, to calm the fears of people, guys like, or people like Tom Hanks and his wife, Rita Wilson, they survive. People realize, okay, you get it. It's not a death sentence.
Yeah.
There are people that are scared of that.
Yeah, because to many people, and then that, unfortunately, that number is going to obviously drop because we're all going to eventually know somebody who has it. That's just the way that the things are going to go. But as of right now, it takes the whole statistic out of it, right? To a lot of people right now, it's just statistics. And what do statistics mean? But now, hey, Sean Payton, Tom Hanks, Kevin Durant. These aren't nobodies, right? And we're going to be able to follow how they're doing, and eventually they're going to get better, and maybe that'll calm a lot of fears.
So back to the football side of football. Stephen A. Smith weighed in on the potential for Tom Brady to do well in Tampa.
With this offense, with a Mike Evans, with a Godwin, with an O.J. Howard, with a Brady and these boys, okay?
Yes.
What if this dude ends up actually winning the NFC South over Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints? I think automatically you'll look at people talking about Tom Brady in an elevated fashion in regards to potential league MVP consideration and things of that nature.
Oh, well, so one thing that people are getting wrong about the Saints, though, or the Bucs, they had a really good offense last year. I know he threw Jameis threw 30 interceptions. I get it. But they scored. Scoring wasn't a problem with them.
But you can't tell me that 30 interceptions didn't affect your win-loss record. That's a lot of interceptions.
I know
that's
one game they lost because he threw a pick six that lost them the game.
They ended the season.
But they scored points.
No, they scored points, but imagine what Tom Brady can do in that system, because you know he's not throwing 30 interceptions. And if
but
Winston
he's also
can
not throwing the deep ball like Winston.
Well, but I think if he goes out there and throws 30 touchdown passes, which I think Tom Brady can do in his sleep in this offense, and cuts his interceptions down from 30 to 15, say, which is definitely doable, 7-9 could be 9-7 and competing for a playoff spot very easily.
They scored 17 against the Saints on November 17th. Every other game, and then they ended the season with 20-22. But besides that, you're talking about 35, 30, 34, 23, 26, 24, 55, 31. I mean, the Bucs could put it up last year.
Yeah, but don't you look at 24 as the number? Like, if you're a good offense, 24 should be an easy number to accomplish during the course of a game.
I don't think the Patriots had that often last year.
No, because I don't think they were a good offensive team at all.
No, they weren't.
Oh, he was part of that.
Yeah, but he's not running for touchdowns.
By the way, this just came from Woj. Three members of the Philadelphia 76ers staff have tested positive for the coronavirus, the team says.
Staff.
They would have said players if it was players, yeah. I assume. That's interesting, because I have another story here today about the Oklahoma City Thunder. The whole team, players and staff, were tested for the coronavirus. All negative, the team says. Now, this is, of course, based on their exposure that could have come against before their game against the Jazz on March 11th. So they decided to have the staff tested. However, recognizing the stress on the state's medical system, the Thunder pursued a private lab. It's unknown when the samples were collected. It took several days, but the entire team came up negative. And now we find out the Sixers have three staff members positive. Andrew, were the Sixers among the five teams? They weren't among the Jazz last five teams, right?
No. No, they were not.
So again, so this is utterly unrelated, seemingly. Seemingly.
But where have the Sixers been? Where were the Sixers, Andrew?
Their last games were home against Detroit, at Golden State, at Sacramento, at the Lakers.
Detroit played Utah.
That's right. Christian Wood for the Pistons tested positive. Right. So you said that could have been it.
And they were in Golden State.
Before that, March 7th, they were Golden State. But it would, I guess I would look at that March 11th game, the last game against the Pistons, when presumably Christian Wood might have had it. But if it's staff, I don't know what staff come in contact with opposing players. So who knows?
Right. And it's not like it all just has to come from the league. These people all have lives.
Yeah, exactly. So. And if they were in San Francisco, the staff, San Francisco was hard hit, right, Peter?
Yep.
They were one of the first cities to really execute a shutdown, so could have been a restaurant they ate in, just somebody they happened to see.
Well, let's stay in this theme. Adam Silver was on SportsCenter, and he talked about how he thinks the NBA has helped with the public awareness of COVID-19.
I understand there are many sides to these issues, but I also think that by virtue of an NBA player being tested and the kind of attention it brought, my sense was, especially among young people in the United States, people were not taking these protocols all that seriously until the NBA did what it did.
Never mind young people, everybody, I think.
No, the NBA shutdown was the beginning of this getting very serious.
Well, that just created everything, right? Because then I remember working the timeline because I was doing the Ranger Avalanche game. So that news came down probably about 9:20 Eastern, okay? And quickly, almost immediately, that game done, suspending the season. The NHL issued their statement that they would have an announcement the next day, and the next morning they postponed their season, or at least, you know, put it on hold, and then you just started to see it happen through all the colleges. All just started to happen. But I think that probably would have happened had there been a college player tested during a tournament. I think that would have happened if an NHL player had tested positive. Postponing a league, shutting down a game, I think just created that awareness. That's when it just all of a sudden it wasn't, oh, we're not letting the media in or something controversial like that. It was just, that was just a slap in the face right there. Wow, we're just not going to play any sports for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, it changed everything. That was the night everything changed.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
The NBPA executive director came out and defended players and was critical of the government about the virus testing. He said there's nothing irresponsible. If you've got that information that you've been exposed about trying to get the tests, that's Michelle Roberts, who leads the NBPA. And this is according to Ramona Shelburne. The problem that more of us can't get the tests, and I'm not apologetic about saying it, in my view, that rests at the foot of the federal government. The Nets also echoed that sentiment, defending testing players for coronavirus and cited the use of a private lab. Of course, we know that it turned out to be necessary as four players were positive, including Kevin Durant. But, Michael, you talked about
this. She's absolutely right.
Yeah, you've been saying this for a couple days.
It bothers me. I mean, can you imagine somebody of privilege thinking, you know, I might be exposed, I don't really feel sick, but I'd like to get a test, saying, you know what, I'm not going to. Because unless everybody could get it, I don't want to.
But
who's that altruistic?
What I am wanting to know, Peter, is what kind of pressure should we put on these private labs to, instead of being private and then charging people to get tested, the affluent, of just maybe using what they have and making sure that they're producing those tests for the general public? Should all these private areas change to where now it should be more widespread instead of just working specific to a group?
There should be pressure put on everybody to make tests available to everybody. It shouldn't be that hard. It shouldn't be that hard to get the masks for people. It shouldn't be that hard. It shouldn't be that hard to make ventilators. It shouldn't be that difficult. Why is it so difficult? This is the greatest country in the world, the greatest resources, and we can't get ventilators for people? We can't get masks? We can't get a simple blood test or a swab Hello? Of the nostril? Come on, man. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to this country.
Hello?
Hey, Don. I hear you. I hear you, Michael. And, I mean, also, we're doing it again. We're waiting right now. You know, at some point, they're going to have the military building these hospitals, these sort of makeshift hospitals, so we have beds.
And what are they waiting for?
What are they waiting for? As if it's not going to happen? It's going to happen. It is going to happen. It's
trying
like
to build a hospital with 10,000 beds in it in a week. 10 days, I think.
Yeah, it's frustrating. Very frustrating. Josh Gordon, the suspended wide receiver, intends to try to play again in 2020. His reinstatement attempt will be overseen by Commissioner Roger Goodell, according to Jeremy Fowler. Of course, he was suspended in December and for violating the substance abuse policy yet again. This has happened many times. We all know it's his sixth NFL suspension since 2013, but he's going to give it a try. So, listen, Michael, we've talked about this before. People obviously like Josh Gordon. It always seems like no matter what happens, there's people who want to give him a shot and who are rooting for him. Hopefully he figures it out.
Well, because the people that know him, Peter, say he's not an evil guy. He just has demons. And you know, I lived it with Daryl Strawberry. Daryl Strawberry is one of the nicest people I ever met. Well, he just couldn't control his demons at one point. Now it seems like he has. Dwight Gooden, the same deal. Really nice guy. But he couldn't control his demons. That's why people still stand by you. So Josh Gordon could be the best guy in the world, but he can't control his demons. Who's taking a chance on him? Because on a football team, when you put that much emphasis on one person, he's got to come through with you, for you. And if he doesn't, it hurts everybody.
Yeah, that doesn't make you a bad team or a bad coach or a bad general manager to say, listen, I love you, but I just can't take the chance on you.
Yeah, hopefully this time if he gets a shot, he makes it count. Rob Gronkowski's role has been revealed at WrestleMania. He will be the host of WrestleMania, which has been moved, of course, from Raymond James Stadium in Tampa to the Performance Center in Orlando. It is now a two-night event on April 4th and 5th, and Gronk will serve as the host. Should be interesting because I could argue that this job actually got bigger and maybe heavier lifting now that it's sort of a smaller set and being done more like a TV show. You know, you don't have the crowd screaming in the background. You can't just say, make some noise. You know, Gronk is going to actually
have to show some chops. Here's what I'd like to know about Gronkowski.
Okay.
He must really test well when they survey audience. Because he's not that great on the air. He seems like a nice guy, but he's not that great on the air. He's going to host WrestleMania? What gives him the chops to host something that big? Again, he must test great.
So why can't he wrestle?
Did you say why can't he wrestle?
He's not big anymore.
Yeah,
that too. And not to mention his body's shot. So I never understood how the wrestling part would happen if he's been beat up so bad.
I'm sure as a host, somebody's going to throw him out of the ring.
Yeah, I mean, he might get into it. My guess is he'll end up beating someone up. He'll have a moment. Darius,
are you involved in WrestleMania?
I don't know yet. I don't know. I'd have to. There are rumors about where it's going to take place, if they're going to do stuff in Stamford, if it's all going to be in Orlando. So I hope so.
Is there any truth to the rumor that they were considering the Garden in June?
It was a rumor. It was a rumor, but now it appears that it's going to be this Performance Center deal. I'll tell you what, though, it's interesting. You know, both WWE and AEW have gone on with their shows live with no audience. And it's really interesting to watch. I'm actually surprised. You know, like Jimmy Kimmel, Fallon, a lot of people are now doing stuff at home on YouTube. I'm surprised that some of those shows can't do their show with a closed set. Like Kimmel can't do a show an essential with essential staff only, like 7-8 people, 10 people.
I don't know how many writers does he have. I mean, the writers can
be
home,
right? Yeah, but
you can
write from home.
Right, unless like, they're just trying to send a message of, could they see that with the ratings were like dramatically down without the audience and the vibe was bad and they just figured.
But did they even do it with no audience?
I know some did. I think Kimmel, I believe Kimmel did one, at least one without an audience.
And Colbert did one. Colbert's doing his show, I think, from his porch today.
The results.
I know Conan is doing his from the house on an iPhone, and his guests are going to be Skyped in.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of that going on. A lot of that. Ladies and gentlemen, the results are in.
All right.
We will start out in the Michael region. The one seed, Tayshaun Hall, advancing over Busta Grape.
The most effective quarterback was Tayshaun Hall.
51.8 to 48.2.
Wow.
Now, you think that's close, Don? Tayshaun Hall is going to take on the winner of the 8-9. 50.3 to 49.7. The win.
Wow.
Goes to Charlie K.
I hate everybody except my family.
Talk about a narrow win.
Who did that beat out again?
Facts.
So there's the facts. There's your facts, Jack. Bye.
How did you get that? Because I'm seeing 50-50.
Well, I have the zoomed in details, Don. I have the high level stuff. Now we move on.
You know what that is? That's good seeding.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, as Andrew said, they're all 9 seeds.
In the Peter region, the one seed, an easy victory, 86.8 to 13.2. It goes to Freddie Kitchens.
Okay.
Advancing to take on the 8 seed, a big winner, 80.4 to 19.6. Gil with the win.
Please don't hang up. Please listen.
Now, let me ask you, Don. So the 50-50 one was good seeding. How about the 87-13 and 80-20? Is that bad seeding?
Well, no, not for the one versus 16. No, the one versus 16, that's the way it goes. But the 8-9?
Why did Michael's 1-16 play so close?
I'm going to ask the public.
Now, the Don region, the number one seed, absolutely cruises 81.7 to 18.3.
Former Raven.
Replied.
Or current Raven.
Oh, like the game doesn't need him.
Sorry, he's a Charger now.
He's a Charger.
Oh, no, he's a Ram.
Can I tell you something?
Sure.
We don't even have to go any further. That's the winner of the tournament.
I don't know.
You don't know. You never know with Don's bracket because it's going to take
on
the...
a very solid Alan Alda.
Yeah, that was sad. I was sad to see that go.
Game,
play it just one last time.
No, it was a game, Alan Alda, for sure. And Eric Weddle will take on the 8 seed, a 63.8 winner over the 36.2 points for Choked Up. But the winner for the 8 seed was Nice Back Pedal.
Nice Back Pedal. Hamstrings must be pretty strong after that.
That's already a good matchup right there between the 8 and the 1. Now, I'm sad to see Buster's See You Guys lose.
Yeah.
But it's come to an end. The winner with 73% would be Take the L.
Just Take the L.
See you guys.
I'm going to miss him.
Yeah, now, do you understand how See You Guys is a 16? How's that possible?
See you guys.
It's wrong. That it's bad. It's a bad job.
And also, in fairness to Andrew, though, it's relatively new. So maybe that really put it in a tough spot. Maybe if that had been around for a few months, it might have been able to get some momentum, but... How do you go from something that literally happened like 10 days ago and then have it be higher than a 16?
And then finally, Edith beats Morris 69-31.
No!
So
she pounded Morris.
That's right. Edith pounded Morris, and now Edith will go one-on-one with Andrew. It's going to be no against Take the L.
Wow. Just take the L.
No.
So, Noel.
So, that'll do it for day one in Drop Madness. Can you believe it? Thank you.
Wow.
And that'll also do it for ENN.
Amazing. What an amazing ENN.
Thank you.
All right, we're in phone call mode, 1-800-919-3776. Give us a buzz. We could talk about anything and everything. What's on your mind as you stay cooped up in the house, 1-800-919-3776. And at 7 o'clock, Chris Carlin will take over the airwaves. You are listening on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.